Brian Paulette in an attic.
I'm supposed to read this. It says, Speaker, the NA member chosen to speak at a meeting needs to be someone who is working and living in a program of recovery, which is the 12 steps and 12 traditions. In areas where there's not an abundance of NA members with substantial clean time or experience with the 12 steps and 12 traditions, there's a possibility that a group inexperienced in Narcotics Anonymous may misunderstand NA traditions and invite speakers from outside the NA fellowship. There are several ways to avoid this situation. Our basic text, for instance, reminds us that NA members from other areas are willing to drive long distances to support new groups. The speaker helps fulfill the group's primary purpose, carrying the message of recovery to the addict who still suffers. When speaking at an NA meeting, we should be careful to deliver a clear message of recovery by identifying ourselves as addicts recovering from the disease of addiction. It is not necessary to dwell excessively on our active addiction or war stories, because we all know what it was like to use. We came to Narcotics Anonymous to stop using, and we are here to share our experience, strength, and hope of recovery. Whew, I'm nervous. I have to tell you guys, though, this has been a dream of mine for 19 years. When I first came to Narcotics Anonymous, my first sponsor that I had, I've had three different women sponsor me since I've been in this process, and all three of them have been very important and instrumental in my life. And the first sponsor I had used to encourage me to share with women because she felt I had a message and my experiences would help other women. And I've discovered since I've been here we're so much alike. It's like one woman gave birth to all of us. We're just like sisters. There are a little bit of differences between us. Most of us share a lot of the same experiences. I came to Narcotics Anonymous because I wanted to stop using drugs. I want to make that very clear. I didn't come in here looking for a husband. I didn't come in here looking for all the blessings that I've gotten since I've been here. I thought my only problem was using drugs, like most of us. I was in a very abusive relationship for a very, very long time. And a lot of what I'm going to talk about today is surrounding that relationship. I was in a relationship with my father's children for 11 years. And this man has broken my ribs. He's broken my nose. Countless amount of times I went to the hospital because of physical abuse. I remember trying to put my shirt on, and I was in so much pain, I could not get my shirt on my body. I was ashamed to look at my face in the mirror because it was so beat up. This man used to tell me that he was going to beat me so bad, I was going to look like a monkey and nobody would want me. And I know I'm not the only one in here that went through that. But I continued to love the man. The insanity. This guy was a kingpin. And I came to Narcotics Anonymous believing that the only reason I stayed with this man is because I loved him. I didn't think it had anything to do with the drugs. But I'm an addict, y'all. I never knew what it was like to buy narcotics because I had it all free. There was nothing I wanted to snort, smoke, or drink that I did not have. I didn't come in Narcotics Anonymous homeless. Dyfus had not taken my children, and I had a job making $50,000 a year. I came in here because I was losing my mind. I was convinced that I was going to be put in Trenton sight. For the ones of y'all that come from Trenton, y'all know what I'm talking about. And any other place y'all come from, there's a psychiatric hospital in that area that you come from. And if you don't have one, there's one close by that they send the people from your area to. And I was convinced that I was going to be there, I was going to be taken there, and somebody else was going to raise my children, and all kinds of ungodly things was going to happen to them that could happen to me. I wasn't raised with a mother. I've been molested. by my mother's husband, by my mother's girlfriend's boyfriend, by my mother's girlfriend's father, several times. And I thought that the only real form of love that I could find was what I got from a man. I didn't know what it was to have a mother's love. So the only love or anything that vaguely resembled is what I got from a man. My father was in my life. So the only thing I knew about was that something from men. And I have to share with you that even to this day, with 19 years clean, I still struggle to have that closeness with my two girls. My son and I are like two peas in a pod, you know, but I struggle to find that closeness that I want to find with my girls. So if you have girls and you haven't done that yet, do it. Learn it. Share it. Because what happens when we don't get it from where we're supposed to get it from, we look for it in all the wrong places. I stayed with this man for 11 years, and for 11 years, this man beat the shit out of me. And I continued to stay. And I never knew why I stayed till I came to Narcotics Anonymous. You know, the drugs was free. That was number one. And I thought, like a lot of us still think today, that I could love this man enough to make him change. Who in here has not had a man that didn't do the right thing, and we thought that girl next to him or that one behind him or the one that came before me couldn't throw it on him the way I throw it on him? I could do it better than all y'all. I don't know what y'all think, but that's what I think. You know, with 19 years clean, I still believe that. When you see my husband, he's always smiling. The difference is that he's not beating my brains out. I didn't come in here looking for a husband, but God blessed me with a good one. I walked into my hotel room today, and my husband bought me 4 dozen roses for no reason but because of the fact that I'm his wife and he loves me. I gotta tell y'all, I've been looking for this all my life. I've been looking for this all my life. And when I decided not to look for a man, that's when God gave me one. Because see, I came in here and I wanted to do all the damage that was done to me. I wanted to screw all over the place because that's what they did to me. God saw fit not to allow me to do that because he gave me a husband. Now, I was never a promiscuous person, not even when I was using. But I came in here because I was so hurt. I was willing to change who God made me just to get some of those guys back. And I'm glad God's got more sense than me. I might be plagued with something, or I might have been gifted with something that there's no pills for. Narcotics Anonymous is a very risky place to sleep around, ladies. We are a high-risk community, higher than most places. A lot of us, we're a community. We're a recovering community. A lot of us slept around, sold shit, gave away shit, and we didn't know who we were selling it to or who we was giving it to. And we picked up some things along the way. I was terrified to have an HIV test until last year. My husband convinced me that I needed to do that. And thank God, I'm not HIV positive. And because the courage that he encouraged me, the thing that he encouraged me to do, that's one thing that I'm no longer afraid of. One less thing taken off that list. When I was asked to share and I was told what the topic is, I started reading literature. And one of the things that I saw when I started reading is that I needed to have some courage to come in here and tell about some things that happened to me, some things I participated in. I thank God for bringing me here today. I thank God for bringing me to this place. I was raped in a Holiday Inn. This is the first time I'm back in a Holiday Inn since that happened. 27 years ago. My friend's husband was supposed to be coming to pick me up to take me home. He picked me up with a shotgun underneath his jacket. He was a manager at the Holiday Inn. He had the room ready, the shotgun in his arm, his jacket thrown over the shotgun, and he proceeded to take me upstairs in the service elevator. He had the room ready, and he raped me, and he wanted me to act like it was good. I've been walking around this with this for 27 years. This is the first time I've told this to anybody but my husband. I was afraid to come here because I did not know what my reaction was going to be to being a Holiday Inn. But the grace of God is a wonderful thing, y'all. I have not obsessed about it since I've been here. And I know I didn't do that all on my own. You know, with this man that I was involved with for 11 years, there's some things that I did that went contrary to my the morals of my fiber. Oof. And I'm going to talk about a few of those things that I did. I found myself in what is an abandoned building, and I didn't realize I lived in an abandoned building until I came to Narcotics Anonymous, and other people were talking about living in an abandoned building. It was abandoned, y'all. It was in a very prestigious neighborhood, Miami Gardens. There was no running water. The lights were out. The house was in good condition, but we was taking water out of the pool at night to flush the toilet. It was an abandoned building. I would go in the supermarket at night with this other woman that was his woman. We were all in this house with him to steal food at night because he was hiding from the police. I don't like orgies. That's not something I wanted to do, but I was involved in that because when I refused to do it, he would beat the shit out of me. And I found myself in this abandoned building, y'all, with another woman in the bed with the man that I loved. And I dared not say anything because I would have been a dead dog. The same man. I was in Camden, New Jersey with him the night I left him when God gave me the courage to run. It was in April, and it was snow on the ground. That's why I can't forget. I don't know the date, but I know it was snow on the ground, and I know when I left out of that room, I know that man had a .357 Magnum to my head with one bullet in it playing Russian roulette. And I prayed and I asked God to give me the opportunity to leave. Somebody came in to buy drugs from him. And when he went to get those few pounds that they came to buy, that's when I seized the opportunity to run out the front door. I was bleeding from I don't know how many places in my body. And I ran to this lady's house. And I'm going to say this lady's Hispanic. Because you never know where your help is going to come from, y'all. The ones of us that worry about color and race and creed, it don't make no difference where it comes from. When it comes, you better take it. I knocked on this woman's door. This woman could have looked at me, and I had blood coming from all over me, and this woman could have closed her door and would have been afraid. The woman opened her door, and she let me in. She called the police, and they came and took me to the hospital. I ended up in women's space. And we don't promote nothing, but that's my, this is my story, y'all. They transferred me to a different women's space in Trenton. While I was in there in Camden, though, he sent that same woman I was in the bed with to the women's space. I was looking out the window, again, through the grace of God. I just happened to be looking out the window. She was knocking on the door. I was able to call one of the staff members upstairs, and they was able to drive me with the police escort to the bus station to take me to Trenton, because this man was sending somebody to find me, y'all. His slave had escaped, and he was sending somebody to find me. And they got me out of there before she saw me through another door. When I left that night, I had no shoe on my feet, $4.20 in my pocket, and all the stuff that we like so much didn't matter. It didn't matter. You know, I was at a function, and somebody asked me to share one thing that I was afraid to share, and it had something to do with this man. There were so many things that happened to me in this relationship, y'all. I was so disgusted with myself for staying. You know, I was so afraid, and yet I still think I should have found the courage to hurt him back. You know, I'm glad I didn't. You know, I used to sleep with a gun under my pillow, y'all. I used to pray the day that I would have enough courage to shoot him in his head. I'm glad I didn't find that courage. How would I explain to my children that I had killed their father? You know, my children has been a source of so many things in my life. There was times when I just wanted them to grow up and be done with, when I got tired. But if it had not been for those three children that God gave me, I would have never attempted to come to Narcotics Anonymous. And I didn't even know about Narcotics Anonymous. I wasn't trying to come to any. I was trying to stop using drugs. Because I was afraid if I didn't stop using, the other little kids was going to tease my kids if I OD'd and say, your mama was a crackhead. And I didn't want my kids to go through that, y'all. I know what I went through not having a mother around. My son had been molested already. And I did not want to leave my children so something else could happen to them. My youngest child is 25. My daughter is doing time in Clinton, y'all. At one time, both of my children were incarcerated at the same time. That was some of the toughest times I had in recovery since I've been here. I went to see my son at a workhouse one time, and I couldn't go back. I went to see my daughter once, and I couldn't go back. Because just seeing them and not being able to touch my children broke my heart. Every time I talk about this, I cry. I took my son's income tax for him to sign, and I could hear the social worker talking to him, but I couldn't see him. I can't do jail, y'all. I can't do it. And my daughter was up there the same time my son was there. Both of these children that I'm talking about is this man's children. When I left him, my son was 3 and my daughter was less than a year old. And my daughter is supposed to be coming home from Clinton. I don't know when. My daughter was on the front page of the Trentonian. She and some friends of hers robbed somebody and the man was shot. And she could have gotten 25 years because she had been locked up twice before. And they could have branded her an habitual criminal, and she could have got 25 years. this is what other people in the fellowship have taught me. Because I've never been locked up. I don't know if it's the grace of God. I don't know whose grace it is or why. But I've never been locked up, and I have done enough things that if they had caught me, I would be underneath the jail. You know, and I have to try to remember that sometimes when my kids get in trouble, that the only reason why I'm not there is because I wasn't caught. And not be so judgmental, you know, and not be so, why can't you listen? Why don't you understand? Why don't you do what I tell you to do? I ain't do what nobody told me to do. You know, when I was riding up and down 95, and I share some of this stuff, I don't like literature to deal excessively on our using. But when newcomers are sitting in front of you, and they look at me, and they see how I look, my hair is done, my clothes is relatively new, I got jewelry, I got this, I got that. They can't identify with all that stuff. They need to hear something from the people that's been here for a long time so they know that we came in here like them. So they know that we are them. Just the grace of God and Narcotics Anonymous have elevated us a little bit. You know? And I don't know who's sitting in here and say stuff is not important. Stuff is important to me. I don't want to be where I was before I got here, okay? I want to keep the husband I got. I want to keep my house. I want to keep my car. I want to keep my truck. But in order for me to keep those things that I've had and keep growing, especially spiritually, y'all, I got to do some stuff. I got to work steps. I have to pay attention to the guidance that's was laid out here for me, because God knows I ain't going to listen to nothing else but Narcotics Anonymous. I ain't before I got here. That's why I ended up in here, because God knows this is the only thing that I would have listened to. My father used to smoke pot, and he told me, don't smoke it. It didn't do me no good. It's not going to do you any good. But guess what? You know I smoked it. I come from the islands, y'all. I come from Jamaica. I don't know if y'all don't know what that means. I can tell y'all what it means. Okay? There's some of y'all here that are associated with some of us. You know what it means. That young lady last night, Holly, was talking about the Jamaicans. If you heard the opening meeting, she was talking about that. She was also talking about being obsessed with a lot of time. And I find that is my problem today, being obsessed with a lot of different things. It don't have nothing to do. My disease don't come at me like, go buy some crack, because you know I ain't going to buy none. I got too much to lose, y'all. But what it doesn't tell me is that if I just keep trying to get stuff and don't pay any attention to the spiritual part of my being, that stuff ain't gonna mean nothing. That it will hide that my disease is insidious and it's cunning. Especially that cunning part, y'all. It hides and it waits for me. And when I get real comfortable, like when I start coming up with excuses why I can't go to a meeting, and I don't tell nobody that, my struggle today is to stay in Narcotics Anonymous. It's not to use. Because my life has gotten so much better since I've been here, that my struggle is to stay here. If you look around you, those of us who has been here for a long time, how many people do you all know that have stayed, that got 20 years, 19 years? It's only a few of us. There was a lot of us here. And it's only a few of us that I'm seeing. Sylvia's still here. James is still here. But there's a lot of other people that I can't say. Ray's still here. There's a lot. And it was a whole room full of us. But they're not here anymore. Carla is still here. They're gone. Their life has taken them out of Narcotics Anonymous. I am terrified. I am terrified. Because this is the only thing that helped me in my entire life. And my struggle is to stay in this program. I don't have to struggle with that man no more. He's gone. he's gone, you know. I don't know where he is, and I don't give a shit. I have the kind of husband. See, God gave me the right husband. Because I got the kind of husband, if that so-and-so would show up right now, my husband would take care of it. I wouldn't have to do a thing. And I need that kind of security. Some people don't, but I do. I need to have somebody that I know can take care of me and protect me. Because I have been abused so much that I need to feel like I have something surrounding me that's going to take care of me. I have God, and I know that, but I need some physical stuff in my life. I'm just telling you about my story. This is who I am. I need to have that kind of person in my life. I need to have somebody that I can talk to about the stuff that happened to me. Before I told anybody what happened to me, I talked to my husband about it. He was the first person I was able to open up to. Because he's not an angel, you know, and he's been through some stuff himself. So I was made it a lot easier for me to tell him about me. You know, my fourth step, you know, we take a fourth step in this room. I think I heard you share about that. And we build up the fear of a fourth step so much to people that they're terrified of doing it. Don't do that to people, y'all. Don't do that. The hardest part of doing a fourth step for me was my procrastination. That was the toughest part of it. Once I decided that I was going to do it, that was the toughest. You know what the best part of my fourth step was? Separating other people's shit from mine. To know that I was molested, but it's not my fault. That's somebody else's shame and guilt, not mine. My shame and guilt was neglecting my children, abusing my children. That was my shame and guilt. And the fourth step for me separated all that stuff. I knew that I didn't do anything wrong. Women, stop calling your little girls fresh. Stop telling them that, you know, you're doing something wrong. If some old bastard decided he wanted to do something to your daughter, and she's 6, or she's 10, or she's 12, it's not her damn fault. Don't make her walk around for the rest of her life feeling like shit for something she didn't do. This is what we do to our children. They used to call me fresh before I knew what the hell it was. I didn't know where that was. And because of that, when something did happen to me, I was afraid to go tell. See, we don't talk about why the kids don't tell. They don't tell because we make them so ashamed that they're afraid we're going to say it's your fault because you was too fresh. They don't know nothing about that. And I didn't tell because I was afraid I was going to get accused of being too fresh. And I kept it to myself, and it kept happening. And I didn't talk about that stuff till I became an adult. And I was molested several times, y'all. Several times, to the point where when somebody saw your few friends and I was talking about this earlier. Last night, I think, I was talking to Linda and Colette and Nadir. And I was telling them that for a long time, I thought I was an ugly child. And Adara looked at me and said, I don't see how. But it wasn't because of how I look, y'all. It's because of the way I felt about me. It's because of the way I felt about me. I felt undeserving. I felt filthy because all those filthy men touched me. And I felt bad about myself because a lot of the women in my life kept telling me I was doing something wrong. You know, and a lot of our fathers are there, but they're not there. A lot of women raised the children. It was one brother standing up there. A lot of fathers, and you take the message and you tell them, I said and we said. They need to be participants. If some of the men would start telling their little girls that they're beautiful, they wouldn't need to hear so much of it from men, other men, you know? I used to tell my two daughters that all these boys are gonna tell you how good you look, and you do, but they don't get no damn credit for it. It's God and your parents. So when they start telling you how good you look, you can shake that shit off. And you don't go looking for it because that's the only place you've heard it from. That's the only place you hear it from. We need to tell our girls that they're beautiful. Especially black girls, y'all. Especially our girls. We need to tell them. Because a lot of us, we emulate other people in a lot of different areas. We emulate other people in a lot of areas. We want our hair to be straight. And I'm talk about it because this is who I am and that's how I talk all the time. We want our hair to be straight and we want our color to look a certain way. And we can't see other people pay millions of dollars to be our color. All the time. They put it on and they lay it out because they want to be our color. And we don't see the beauty in ourselves. We need to look at ourselves. We need to let our girls know. I was at McDonald's with my youngest granddaughter. And this opened up my eyes so much. The girl is 8 years old. We walk in McDonald's. And there's a little Hispanic girl there. And it's nothing against all the people and they're racist. And my granddaughter looked over to me and she said, Mommy, isn't she a beautiful girl? Look at her hair. Grandma, my mom, look at her hair. And it made me recognize the fact that we're not doing enough to teach our girls that they're beautiful. All of us can do it. You don't have to have a daughter to do it, you know. You can catch somebody, your niece or somebody's other daughter, and you can say, you can reassure them. You can let them know. Narcotics Anonymous has been so much to me, guys, I can't tell you. You know, that's why I'm still here, y'all. That's why I'm still here. I'm still struggling with my children. I have a daughter that's in the Navy. When I first came to Narcotics Anonymous, that girl made me realize and made me use step 1, 2, and 3. She was running away, and I had to learn how to come in here and turn it over. You know, I didn't know where she was for weeks at a time. And she made me use those first 3 steps. She made me know that I can't handle this stuff by myself. And I'm totally powerless. And she made me realize that I had to turn it over to God, or I would have lost my mind trying to find my child. You know, I got to keep coming back, y'all. Thanks for letting me share. Our next speaker is Deborah from Burlington.
Hey. My name is Deborah. I'm going to try to read this speaker portion. I don't have my glasses with me. Nobody had them, so I'm going to try. Speaker, any member chosen to speak at a meeting needs to be someone who is working and living the NA program of recovery, which is the 12 steps and 12 traditions in areas where there is not abundance of NA members with substantial clean time or experience with the 12 steps and 12 traditions. There is a possibility that a group inexperienced in Narcotics Anonymous may misunderstand NA traditions and invite speakers from outside the NA fellowship. There are several ways to avoid this situation. Our basic text, for instance, reminds us that NA members from other areas are willing to drive long distances to support new groups. The speaker helps fulfill the group's primary purpose, carrying the message of, they forgot by, so, carrying the message of recovery to the addict who still suffers. When speaking at an NA meeting, we should be careful to deliver a clear message of recovery by identifying ourselves as addicts recovering from the disease of addiction. It is not necessary to dwell excessively on our active addiction or war stories, because we all know what it was like to use. We came to Narcotics Anonymous to stop using, and we are here to share our experience, strength, and hope. Somebody tried to change it, somebody forgot to buy, maybe they didn't want it there, Lord. Hey, y'all. I'm an addict. Again, my name is Sabora. I just want to thank God for this opportunity. And hey, ladies, hi, y'all. Thank you so much for sharing. And you know, I need to say here, when I was asked to come here, I was at a meeting, and a young lady, you know how you can, like, people can just like you? And come on, y'all know people just like you. And so they said a convention was coming up. Was you sharing? I said no. And she didn't mean no harm. And she said, well, I'm pretty sure I'm gonna have one of the chairs. I'm gonna get you to share. I ain't wanna come in like that. So initially, instantly, I went in prayer. Because today in my recovery, I'm practicing. God, don't let me be where I need not be. You know what I mean? Because all the hoopla and all being cute, sharing everywhere, at this stage in my life, you know, it's not about that. You know what I mean? Because it's all about, can I touch somebody's life? You know, because really I've came to believe, and I've learned today, I'm not here to entice your emotions or make you laugh or make you, you know what I'm saying, all that kind of stuff. I want to help somebody. So God, can you use me as a vessel that I can help one somebody? And that really helps me because I'm so, like, self-centered, right? And I want everybody to say, girl, you shared. Let me keep it real. Can I keep it real? I want everybody to say that, and when they don't say that, Lord, I ain't say nothing. And let me go here, and then when the newcomer come up, you know, looking like she just put the hit down, and say, thank you so much, and I miss it, because I'm so busy worried about the predecessor. God, help me help somebody. Whoever it is. If it's one somebody, because a lot of times we just say that, but that thing is so real. It is so real. I mean, it's so real. It's time out for, like, sounding good, and ain't nobody got no help. You leaving out this meeting the same way you came in. Okay, time out for that. God, please don't let me leave the way I came in. You know, I was really trying, like, to, because I went through an incident on my job the day before yesterday, early in the morning. I work a crazy shift, and I went through, like, some drama, and really, you know, that's not part of my character, if you will. It was the drama to the point we almost, like, was like, you ready, like, do this thing, and really, that's really not my character. And it happened the day before the convention. I said, what kind of mess is this? So, you know what I'm saying? I don't really have a lot of hoopla going on. So, I said, well, God, I ain't going to box you in because I know you're really good, your specialty in taking a mess and giving a message. So I ain't going to box you in, you know what I'm saying? But then when you shared, I started to have to come out of my jacket. Thank you for that, because I was sweating before they cut the air on because you was talking about me. I said, oh, God, I hope I ain't got to go down that street. I'd rather share the drama from on yesterday than go down that street, but you set the stage, so I'm just gonna be obedient, if you will. You know, talked about so much and all that you went through, and then she talked about like don't like an orgies, oh God, I do. And I was trying to sit there like, well, you know, maybe you really don't. Y'all said I can keep it real, right? And I was trying to alter that thing, you know what I'm saying? But it is what it is. I said, okay, God, I am here in the woman's meeting. And I said, it was a brother over there. I said, what that brother pulling up in here? Because this is a place where we can take our clothes off. This is a place where I can let my lashes fall. This is a place where I ain't got to be looking like a diva. Because y'all know me. Y'all see past that exterior. You know what I'm saying? That external stuff. Oh, that's cute. I like stuff too. But guess what? In the midnight hour, I need to tell you, I was going through my go-through just the day before yesterday. I said, God, could you just hold me? God, I need a hug. You ever be there, God? Could I? Can we learn hugs here? So I learned how to pray. God, could you give me a hug? I need a hug. Being at a place, and you talk about the secrets. So could you pass me a cup of water, please? We're talking about secrets. I want to say and justify and rationalize that I really ain't got none. I done been here. I keep it real. I ain't got none. Oh, they kill me with them topics. You know what I'm saying? Until you start saying, I say, oh, la. You know what I'm saying? And sharing about the stuff that I like and the stuff that I try to hide and try to deny, you know, especially being the place where I am in my life today, you know, working this thing the best I know how. But I just had a birthday last month, I mean 30 days ago, and I'm at that number. And don't you dare say it. It's the number, right? I just hit the number, like, that's the number. Thank you, girl. Let me get your number after the meeting. Help a sister out. But I got that number. I hit that number, right? And I wanted to go into depression and oppression. You know what I'm saying? Because I felt like I didn't accomplish enough at this state of my life. And I felt like, do I have to change? Do I have to, you know, walk like a little old lady? Because I, talking about me. Because I was dissecting, I was focusing on the number. You feel me? And something happened in the midst of the number. I started getting horny. And I was be married, right? And I don't cheat. Not that I don't want to. I just don't want to go through. Afterwards. And to keep it real honest, I ain't trying to take my clothes off in front of nobody but my husband. I know I look cute and everything with the t-shirt and skirt, but I'm fit this stuff. Ain't nobody trying to see that. You know what I'm saying? At this late in the game. You ain't 16 no more. You can start twisting. Everything flapping and wrinkles in. God please, husband. But getting that number, and I've always liked the older men, right? And now I'm looking at young men. And I tried to deny that I ain't looking at possibilities. It's possible it could be your son. I said I ain't want to talk about this. And, you know, I work in a pharmacist, right? I'm a pharmacy tech. And it's this cutie. He's about 27. And you know the story that he want me? I want help. And he keep pressing me my station. I'm like, boy, how are you? You know what I'm saying? And afraid to really talk about it and want to deny it. And because it starts from at the midnight hour when my husband is asleep. Because if you got a TV now, you ain't got anything on TV. And I would love to say, you know, I'm so grateful that in the place of my recovery, I don't judge folks. I'm compassionate. Because I've been through anything but loose. Even loose. So I can only identify. So now I'm watching in the midnight hour when my husband is slobbing and sleeping because he only lasts 10 minutes. And I love him. I ain't turning him down, but he's a 10-minute man. And at this time in my life, I want to go an hour. Throw me on the wall, crack my leg. You know, I like what I like. And I keep it so much as a secret because most of y'all know me. I'm a preacher. So I need to say where they go. You know what I mean? And I be up there doing what God has called me to do or sitting there and the men be preaching. I'm looking like, what are you working with? So I questioned God. I said, God, you sure you... I'm supposed to be like here because, you know, I know I'm supposed to be looking at the book. And I'm looking at... talking about the book. You know what I'm saying? And then not and holding that and hiding from that and saying it ain't real. Right? And always like an older man. And now, if you pass 40, don't look at me. Because I ain't interested. Matter of fact, if you pass 38, I ain't interested. Of being stuck there, you know what I'm saying? And the other night, I was calling my girlfriend. I said, you know, because she is so, she don't tolerate cheating. Not that I do. But I needed the freedom to say, sister girl, I'm having a moment. And I know that you don't tolerate this stuff, but could you help me? Because I want to cheat. I want something big and hard and long. Real long. I want to back that thing up. You know what I'm saying? I've been married since I got here, but I thank God for my husband because I didn't pick him. Because you know what? And what restores me, because my picker, I am so love instant gratification, I pick for the moment. And you turn over and look at that thing that you picked, lay on, looking like Freddy Krueger or something. So I thank God for my husband. I always say that because he wasn't my picker. And when he rolled up on me, he had on a cheap sweatsuit and some corny sneakers. And he was walking. And I came from Brooklyn, hustler, thought I had, you know, even I was at my bottom, but you know, you still think you keep. You know what I'm saying? But I thank God because now today, where I am in my life, he loved me. Whatever state I'm in. So I'm saying that to say, if I were to pick somebody, would I be here 14 years later in my marriage and him still loving me? Don't matter what. So it helps me, like, not go out. So I asked God the other day, and I grabbed myself. I said, God, what do I do with these feelings? Who can I talk to and tell them the real truth and they don't judge me? Who can I tell? Yes, you called me for another assignment. It's just an assignment, but I still like what I like. I know it's not your will for me to do that, but God, I want to. And I would love for my prayer to be, God, help me not do that because I don't want to. God, I want to. And really, I want you to not let me, but please don't let me. I really don't want you to block me from me, but before you get up, we'll do it anyway. You know what I'm saying? So what do you do with all of that when everything is tingling and everything and, you know, walking past you and I thought men just do that. However, thank God for a women's rap. Thank you for setting the stage. Because I need that stuff out. Because, you know, if we don't get that stuff out, it's going to have to release somewhere. It's going to have to be released. You cannot walk. I cannot walk around here and act like it's not real, that it does not exist. Because you know what? I have played the end of the tape, but I don't want to. You know how you stop that thing in the middle? Because soon as you come... Come on now. It's good unto you till you come. And after you get that release, you be jacked up. Your butt will be in a sling. But it feels real good not to play the tape to that part. So let me keep it right here. And then I found myself going crazy. So again, thank God for women, some real women, because I was so afraid. You know, God has called me for a task, and it's just an assignment, that's all. I'm still who I am. He knew who I was when he called me. You know what I'm saying? And that's why I like here, because I can come here and tell y'all I feel like screwing my pastor. He young, and he got a big butt. And one day, I was buttoning his robe, and I stopped right there. In my mind. Thank God the good mother stepped in and put me out of that assignment for robing the man. Thank God for a mother. Meaning somebody older, somebody more wise. You know, I'm going to share about the little incident and I'm going to be done. On day before yesterday morning, you know, I have this, you know, everybody not going to like you. And I've got to the place in my life that it don't even matter. Because once you start liking you, you so consumed with liking you. And it took so much work to get to a place to like you. And everybody ain't supposed to be in your space. Because you know them spirits. Get to, you know what I'm saying? You hang out with dogs, you get fleas. But anyway, and this girl, she has authority and she does not like me. And no matter what I do, she does not like me. And it's been going for like 2 years. And then day before yesterday, well, yesterday morning, she pushed me. She put her hands on me. And she pushed me so hard, so I went to a trot. She pushed me with so much force to identify with rage and anger and resentment. Because the force of the push. And my reaction, because I was in an abusive relationship, but his dick was so good, I stayed. My story was I didn't know how to get out. I wanted the dick. I picked my out, put it in my head, just don't leave. I don't know the story. That's not my story. I ain't know how to get out. I knew the way out. But he tried to lay his eye. Thank God for recovery. Any event, the sister pushed me to a trot, and I turned around and I just went off. We on the job. Pushed her. What are you doing? Went straight street. Straight street, straight ghetto, all it is. Bring it, you know what I mean? And then what I saw on her face was fear. So when I went, and that restored me. So when I went home and told my husband, right? Because me and my husband had a relationship with talk. He says, honey, cute girls don't fight. So that's why she pushed you. But you fooled her. But it was like a why I react like I did, because my mind went back to active addiction. My mind went to a dark place. And you was coming in and you was going to hurt me. And that was my response. Because once you're set free, you ain't going back. Wait a minute, I'm already out of that. So I reacted, and the thing of it is, when I went and prayed, I knew that was not God's will for me to hit. You know, he said, turn the cheek, and it's all good, and it's the truth, but God ain't with the turning the cheek. I know you say it's right, but God, I don't feel bad that I didn't turn my cheek. But I feel bad after I start cussing. I said, bring your A. No, I said, I'll knock your A. I'll stretch you, me. Little behind me. I'll stretch your A down. I said, right here, right here. And I, you know, once you know we'll go there, you know, one is too many and a thousand is enough. Now all the way there and bring it and come on. But and then the fear. So that was the restoration. So I kind of calmed down. You know what I'm saying? So the thing of it is, you know, then she gonna call the inside popo and say, I hit her. I said, you hit me. But I'm saying the thing of it is that let's be two adults. You hit me, I hit you, let's keep it moving. Why are we both gonna lose a job? But you know, the place that I allow myself to go to and see myself in that. You know, in that aura of really ghetto and wanting to fight. And I don't cuss. It's just something I practice not to do. I try to find, and not because of religion. No, I just try to find words to express how I really feel. If I'm angry, if I'm frustrated, that's sufficient. I don't need to say blankety blank or blank. And plus, I'm too much of a diva to talk like that. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, you know, so now we in the process. I don't know what's going to happen. But my prayer was, God, I really don't want her to lose her job. And I was mad that I felt like that. But you know what, God? I want her to lose her position, but not her job. You know what I'm saying? And being real with God, because God knows us. So I don't have to go and pray and act like I'm at a place that I'm not. God, this is how it is. And, you know, in my closing, y'all got to pray for me that I don't cheat. You know why? Because it sounds good, and I'm not exempt. I'm not exempt. And I'm not going to walk around here and act like I won't, because I want it bad. So if I expose myself, and I pray that this tape don't get to my husband. If I expose myself and hear myself, it's a possibility that I won't go out. But if I say that I talked about it and I feel good and I ain't gonna do it, I'll be lying. I wanna cheat. And I felt that I was wrong because since I got here, I never got a chance to prance through the room. I always had fever because of that. At least I could have had two and then get married. Come on, girl, please, somebody, please. Well, let me say that I ain't missing it. You know what I'm saying? Because I go through that, and I felt as soon as I got here, I married, and I ain't get a chance to whore. And then go get married. Even though I'm grateful, you know what I'm saying? But that's where I come from. And a lot of days, I got to put her under arrest. I got to be careful who face I'm in. And, you know, the girl who pushed me, you know, she didn't like, well, you know why she pushed me? Because her husband was in my face laughing. He said something funny, and I bust out laughing, because anybody know me, I laugh real loud. And she heard me, and she came by the station, but she's better than I, because I would have handled you then. She waited 4 hours later. So my sponsor said she had a meeting. She had a meeting. How could she do this hooker and keep my job? And see, me, I'm so crazy. When you do is when you get. You know what I'm saying? So therefore, maybe the compassion, I can understand why she was so angry with me. Because we don't even talk. And my finality is, if you and I don't talk, you're going to be talking to my husband. It's real or ain't, but that's my thinking. If you can't speak to me, don't be speaking to E-double-D. His name is Eddie. Don't talk to him. And, you know, I knew that, and I would try to provoke her. Let me talk about me. I try to provoke her some days, knowing I don't like it. I got what I was supposed to get. She should have knocked me off my feet. Really? You know what I'm saying? So the rage and the anger came from, this hooker don't even speak to me, and because you know you know your spouse. Any married women in here? Y'all know what y'all got. Y'all know what he'll do and what he won't do. And she know what she working with. And I'm cute. Why he wouldn't talk to me? Because Because you look like Barney Rubble. I mean, she's a Barney Rubble figure. You know, I ain't talking about her, but it is what it is. And you know us, and then when I get a man, I start twisting real hard, and she want to knock me down. And he's such a dog, I didn't know he was going around after this incident talking to all the women. So she know what she working with, she like me anyway, so it really built up inside of her. And when she did that, my mind went to active addiction. That, you know, I've been in them alleys and been in all that stuff, all that abusive man, was he getting ready to jump on me? And I just went, you know, I didn't know I had it in me. You know, and if I could take it all back, I wish I could have handled it more mature and responsible and say, Becca, why are you putting your hands on me? Is there a supervisor online? Because she just, for some apparent reason, put her hands on me. I can't fathom why. You know, if I can, you know, do it over again. However, what's in you gonna come out of you. So, you know, I don't know what's gonna happen out of that. I'm praying for her, also for me. You know what I'm saying? And I need help, you know, that I continue to do the right thing. That I continue to feel comfortable in a setting that we won't be judging each other because of my feelings and because of my desires. And because I like porno movies, and at this age, the preacher. And I wait till you sleep. You know what I'm saying? Take it when they turn the channel. You know, that kind of stuff. My girlfriend said, it's just a phase, honey. You'll get over it. But I don't know. I kind of like the phase. Even though I haven't got no release, I kind of like it. You know, but, you know, in my closing, I really honestly don't want to cause no harm, most of all to myself. You know, yes, my husband too, but guess what? Most of all to myself, because I am a very special individual, okay? In the sight of God, I mean so much to him, just like you do, that I don't need to be giving myself away for a quick feeling or for some type of release. I need to continue to look at myself in the mirror and tell myself, Deborah, you're beautiful. You know, go get a toy. Tell your husband, could you go get some Viagra, boo? Let's do this another way. That's courage. Now, give me the courage to tell him I want it a little bit longer. Courage. Honey, could you turn me to the left? Verse the right. I'm sure that's courage. So when maybe your son walk past, I won't want to take him out. Because I'm at the stage, I was telling my girlfriend, he ain't even going to have no money. This one is on me. Thanks for letting me share.
Next speaker is Claire Reese from Burlington, I think.
My sponsor was from Burlington. I'm from Somerset, New Jersey. I recover in the greater New Brunswick area. I'm a grateful addict named Claire Reese. I'm telling y'all, I am absolutely glad to be in the company of my sisters today. I really am. I want to thank y'all for sharing before me, and I'm grateful to have been able to sit there and listen and breathe and just exhale for real. I came in this room with a whole lot of feelings. I had a whole lot on my heart and a whole lot on my mind when I came through the door. I'm feeling a whole lot of stuff. I got word that I lost one of my sponsees, and I got this word yesterday. And this is not the first sponsee I've lost in this process. And I'm feeling some kind of way about that. I'm grateful for the opportunity to have been in here and, you know, laugh through identification with y'all. You know, y'all telling y'all story and all the rest of that. But that stuff is still here with me. Cause today, you know, and I'm grateful because, see, the deal is when I was out there running and gunning, my heart did not beat. I was hard-hearted Hannah. You know, the game was stick and move, and it was about getting one more.
Right.
Y'all were, in fact, the competition, and I didn't like nag damn one of y'all. And I don't want y'all to get that twisted for a moment. But like, you know, my sister said, through the step process, my heart got to beating. I became compassionate through sponsoring women. And that loss ain't never easy for me. You can't do a four-step with somebody, love them for who the hell they are, and in the God of your understanding, remove them, and they make a transition, and you don't feel that. It, not for me, I don't. So I just really need to talk about what I came in here with. It is not no secret that upon learning how to love myself, I began to learn how to love women, and at one point, y'all were, in fact, the competition and absolutely the damn enemy, okay? I cuss, and the God of my understanding know I cuss, and I didn't promise him I was not going to cuss to try to get through this neither. Now, I'm trying to, and I can speak intelligently. I really can, and like DeBoer, I'm trying to put some words, different words in them blanks where I'm saying this, that, or the other thing. I'm really trying to put some other words in them blanks, but if I can't do it today, then I can't do it, and I'm not apologizing for not doing it neither. I'm just not going to do it. Y'all asked me to come down here and be myself.
That's
right. And share my strength, hope, and experience. I'm all over the damn place. I'm all over the damn place, but I know that the God of my understanding wants me right here. Because when I got this news yesterday, and then I had to be here today, there was a time, I'm telling y'all, I would have been somewhere with the covers pulled up over my daggone head. No, I cannot do this. Hair got to be right. Jewelry got to be right, clothes got to be right, everything got to be right if y'all want to make me to make a cameo appearance. Today I choose to wear this crown that the God of my understanding gave me. I don't choose to be blonde, red, none of that. And I ain't got nothing against that. I've had every hair color that you could possibly have, right? But today I choose to have some freedom even in that. You understand? Because y'all need to know that my game was Blazing Sweet Begging and Mellow Bionics. Get me one by any means necessary. Dress it up and roll it past them slowly. I was obsessed with my own body. Okay? Now, I didn't realize God gave it to me to attract men, women, or whatever it was, and then to do the right thing once I got their attention. I didn't know that. Do the right thing once I got their attention. Right? Do the right thing. So he gave me good looks as an attracting power so that I could let people know that he was real. But oh no, not me, because I had the whole game all messed up. So I was obsessed with my own body, which got me 6 kids. Now here's the secret, because I really don't have no secrets today. I've been clean 24 years. I done told everybody. Anybody, no stop. I ain't locked down. I need y'all to know that I'm wholly free of the present. I ain't locked down in absolutely nothing. Now, the thing, I'm going to tell y'all about the thing that's challenging me today. It may be a secret to y'all, but it ain't no secret. I just ain't took and told y'all, but it ain't no secret. Because, and you know, some of y'all, and I done told some of y'all, because I was down here not too long ago talking about it. So some of y'all know, and maybe the rest of y'all told the rest of y'all, and maybe y'all really do know. Maybe y'all really do know, but I'm going to talk about it. Maybe y'all really do know. And it's two things that plagued me today more than anything else that I'm challenged by. I vacillate between it being a defect and a shortcoming, depending on where I'm at and how well I'm feeling. But it's there. And I know it's there. And secrets die in the light of exposure, and I'm talking about it. I ain't stuffing Jack down. That ain't going to happen. Because I'm not going to be sick. And the deal is, not only am I as sick as my secrets, I'm as sick as yours too, so you need to get somewhere to talk about the shit you need to talk about. Don't tell me Jack shit ain't my shit. Because I'm sick as yours. I'm sick as yours, so let's do a four step. How about that? Because I'm sick as yours, damn it. Now, you can tell me. You can tell me, but we're going to get to the root of it. And we're going to work it out, because I'm as sick as your shit, too. And many women as I sponsor, if I got all your shit on me, I'm a sick cookie. So I'm not doing it like that. You understand? Now, I got a hold of confidence. But we're going to get to a damn four step, too. Because I'm not going to be sick with your shit. Because my shit made me as sick as I needed to be, and I don't intend to be ill like that not another day that I live, okay? I'm not going to do it. So this is what's challenging me today, y'all. I'm trying to learn how to operate in nonverbal, nonviolent communication.
Okay.
Nonviolent communication. Okay, that's what's challenging me today. Because the thing is, you know, like, and y'all have taught me to be kind, considerate, compassionate, understanding, patient, tolerant, and a few things. And then the other folks don't play fair because they don't got them spiritual principles that they have. They don't understand them, and they don't really got to work with them. If I got them, I got to work with them, right? No matter what anybody else does, right? Huh? You know, you talking about it. No matter what anybody else does, because not only do I know, when you know better, you got to do better, right? Now, you really do, because I'm telling you, God will call you on the carpet if you know better and you don't do better. He will call you on the carpet and you will be miserable up in this camp if you don't do what you know to do. I'm telling you what I know. God will call you on the carpet, man. You can't sleep. You can't eat. He will call you on the carpet up in this camp because he ain't going to be mocked. And God can't use no punks. You talk about the courage, girl. God can't use no punks. And I need to tell y'all that I was on my way to the divorce court. This ain't new. But I'll bring y'all up to speed and what's going on because y'all taught me how to stick and set. I'm talking about courage now. I'm talking about not having no job. My husband being emotionally and verbally abusive. Thank you. Because if he had blacked my eyes, God knows I'd be handcuffed. And I'm telling you, if he had to put his fucking hands on me. Yeah, I'm telling you. It is not my story. Rolling Pin Love is not my damn story. The one thing that my mother gave me, she empowered me to leave a man that believed he was going to put his damn hands on me. My mother left my father, and I know she loved him. And she empowered me, look, got to go. Don't put your damn hands on me. Now this non-violent communication. And I'm violent, and I need to say that. And I'm a diva too, damn it. I'm violent. Okay? I am absolute, and I know I'm angry, and I am violent, and I know I'm violent. I am capable of murder in any given situation. If I feel threatened, damn it, and my back is up against the damn wall, I'm telling you. I've said this before, I meant it then, and I mean it now, and I'm telling you, I thank God for a relationship with a God of my understanding, because he will, in fact, if I ask, he will arrest that behavior in me in the moment. In the moment. I fight men, women, and children. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. It's some young people in this world that have not been raised and given not one damn thing that's going to allow them to reach my age. We did not pass the baton, and I'm going to say we. I'm going to say we. Now, I raised my kids. I need y'all to know I got off the bar stool and went home and raised mine. So they doing all right. They doing all right. They ain't living no perfect life. But they're doing all right. And I took my recovery home because I was real clear that my past could determine my children's future. I was real clear about that shit. I'm grateful for the awareness that God gave me. So I got off the bar stool. But truly, my past could have determined my children's future. I got five daughters. There's no reason for me to believe that every one of them would not have been trapped supreme because they're good-looking kids. They're absolutely beautiful, beautiful children. Tramp Supreme, because I was good at what the hell I did. Why not do it? If it don't make money, it don't make sense. If it don't make money, then it don't make sense. That was my thinking. Y'all need to get there. Because that's what allowed me to stay in the game. I had six kids I had to raise. A welfare check was not going to cut it. Now, I told you I was obsessed with my body. So if I was obsessed with it, then my next job was to get John Q. Public, his cousins, his daddy, granddad, and all of them obsessed with it too. That was my next. I left home. Somebody's son was going to bite the dust. And that was my job. That was my job. To charm a man's money up out their pocket when they got home from work. That was my damn job. And I was good at it. And there's no reason for me to believe that my daughters would not have been trans supreme, okay? So that's where we at. There's no reason for me to believe that they would not have. They watching me. I'm 19 years older than my oldest daughter. You think she wasn't watching me? And do you think the rest of them at the gate wasn't watching her? So I need to go back home and tell them that there was some new information. You understand? That's what I needed to do. Okay, so here we go. My husband was emotionally and verbally abusive was. He's getting a little better. So I didn't have no problem, okay, going, this is how it went. Now I'm praying, because I'm trying to do the right thing. I'm praying, I'm talking to God and meditating, all that. While all this is going on, there was nothing but chaos, turmoil, the whole nine yards, because he wants to fix, manage, and control me. It ain't going to happen in his lifetime. And I've shared that information. I thought he got it. He did. Right? So it went on and on and on and on. And my children were being affected by it. And my daughters came in. And, you know, we a united front. And he looked like, and I'm trying to give him a cue. Everybody you see here is on this side. Everybody you see here is on this side. So it ain't going to be nothing nice. Because now you done pissed my kids off. Now they liked you because you came in here doing daddy, doing some stuff. You understand? But everybody you see here, we all on the same side. And we on the side against you. And when my children took that stand, I said to myself, they need not to believe the real healthy relationships go like this. Because they can find themselves in the same place, going through the same stuff, thinking that it's all right. Thinking that it's all right. So now this is months ago, y'all, almost a year ago. I'm in front of my one daughter's house on the telephone calling the domestic violence hotline. Because I need somebody now that some professional folks to guide me. Because I'm sleeping on a straight razor. You were sleeping on a gun. I couldn't get no gun. I'm sleeping on a straight razor. Now, I'm licensed by the state of New Jersey to have a straight razor, but not to do what I was going to do to my husband. So I got the straight razor and a knife. And I asked him about my steak knife, and he, you seen the steak knife? You know, it's a whole bunch of them, but one was missing. And he said, maybe it's the one you sleeping on. I said, oh, no, it's not that one, because I ain't sleeping on no steak knife. Okay? No, it ain't that one.